With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Another board meeting took place Tuesday on a proposed treatment center in the town of Cashin in Oneida County. The Cashin Planning Commission reported their recommendations to the town board on the Great Lakes Center Tribal Council Adolescent Recovery and Wellness Center's COUP or Conditional Use Permit. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed spoke with the Cashin Town Chair about the outcome of that meeting.
In Cashin, the Great Lakes Intertribal Council's Adolescent Recovery and Wellness Center has faced outspoken opposition for several months. In order to build the center, GLITSI needs an approved conditional use permit, or CUP, from the county. In Tuesday's special board meeting, the town board made a motion to reiterate to the county zoning committee that they oppose the center. The town board will also send a letter to the zoning committee explaining their main reasons for opposition. Patty Francoeur is the Cashin town clerk. She explained that the town is concerned about the center needing to install three-phase electric power. The subject was first brought up in an information session on November 20th. This is James Turnbull speaking to Brian Bainbridge, CEO of GLITSI, at that meeting.
A facility this large that you're proposing to build is going to require three-phase primary power. And the closest that I can see is out on Highway 51. That's approximately maybe 4 miles. Can you answer for the room who's going to finance that?
Bainbridge said GLITSI would be responsible for that, which others asserted.
Yes, that's no. Generally
that's
what happened,
yes.
Okay.
I would have had to do that with my own business.
Francoeur says one of the town's concerns is that installing three-phase power in that area would encourage larger businesses to build there.
They're going to have to run that for that facility to operate. And once that's run out there, then, you know, that opens it up for more developments like, you know, just say a Walmart or, you know, businesses that, you know, maybe we would want to be able to not see go there because of the land and the hunting, the ruralness.
Ultimately, it's up to the county to decide whether or not GLITSI is granted the CUP. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed.
Michigan officials approved a $500 million plan Friday to encase in a protective tunnel a portion of an aging oil pipeline that runs beneath the channel connecting two Great Lakes, leaving just one more regulatory hurdle for the contentious project. The state's three-person Public Service Commission approved the project in the Straits of Mackinac on a 2-0 vote. One commissioner abstained, noting she had just joined the commission 4 months ago. The commission's chairperson, Dan Scripps, said the tunnel is the best way to mitigate the risk of a spill as the state slowly transitions to renewable energy sources. Opponents lined up in front of the commission to complain after the vote, blasting the project as a boondoggle that will lock the state into using fossil fuels even longer and endanger the environment. The plan still needs approval from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which is compiling an environmental impact statement. A final decision may not come until 2026. Enbridge Energy has been operating the Line 5 pipeline since 1953. The pipeline moves up to 23 million gallons of crude oil and natural gas liquids daily between Superior, Wisconsin, and Sarnia, Ontario. A 4-mile portion of the pipeline crosses the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac. A lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's collective bargaining ban for most public workers is, by some, seen as a way to bolster the state's beleaguered education workforce. Mike Moen explains.
A coalition of unions filed their lawsuit last week seeking to overturn Act 10, which places heavy limitations on negotiating rights for public sector unions. The law has been in place for a dozen years and was a major priority for conservative lawmakers. The latest lawsuit comes as Wisconsin, like other states, grapples with teacher shortages. Maddie Toff is a graduate assistant at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who says restoring these rights could make the state an attractive place for future educators and researchers.
Having really strong education through academia as well as in public schools is really important for training the next generation, but also recruiting people.
Toff is with the Teaching Assistants Association, a union that is among the plaintiffs in the case. The controversial law has been able to stay in place despite past efforts to have it thrown out. A recent report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum notes that the state's teacher turnover rate has climbed from 8% in 2010 to more than 15% in the last school year. Tuff says at the graduate student level, she and her peers are very passionate about what they're studying. She feels not having the right to bargain for extra support erodes at their enthusiasm to carry out a public mission.
We have people who have to live with many roommates or don't have enough money to get groceries.
She says at UW-Madison, her union is in the midst of a major campaign citing the need for paid leave benefits. As for the lawsuit, it was filed after the Wisconsin Supreme Court flipped to a liberal majority. But legal analysts say it could take some time for it to reach the high court, and there's the possibility the newest liberal justice would recuse herself from the case. Meanwhile, Republican leaders say overturning the law would result in budget harm for schools. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
Democrats in the Wisconsin State Senate have a new leader. The caucus elected Diane Hesselbein of Middleton late Friday to replace Melissa Agard as minority leader. The move comes a day after Agard announced she will run for Dane County Executive next year. State law bars her from holding a Senate office and county executive office simultaneously for more than 2 months. Hesselbein takes over as the state Supreme Court's liberal majority is poised to potentially invalidate Republican-drawn legislative district boundaries. New maps could help Democrats gain seats in both the Assembly and Senate. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.